The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed don't necessarily reflect those of NCIFM.
Welcome to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. Join us as we chat and highlight all the advocacy we are doing with and for our nation.
Bonjour, Anine. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chats, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. I'm SCO Grand Chief and your host, Jerry Daniels. We are coming to you from inside the studios of NCI on Treaty 1 territory. We have another great show for you with a couple of special guests. As you likely know, Wednesday was Valentine's Day, and we wanted to keep talking about love on today's program. Joining us are two First Nations leaders who lead with love and compassion as part of the important work they do. Up first today, I will be sitting down with Chief Gordon Bluesky of the Broken Head Ojibwe First Nation. Then we'll visit with a true champion and advocate when it comes to the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, gender diverse, and two-spirit relatives, Dr. Sandra Delaronde. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the next half hour here on NCI or wherever you get your podcasts. Much of the work we do at SCO is grounded in the seven sacred teachings. Love is the gift from the eagle. Love is a force that is undeniable. With love, all things are possible. It is everyone's right to have and experience it. In terms of the medicine wheel, love is the hub. It is the symbolic fire at the center, where Creator sits. Man is incapable of understanding the Creator, so in turn, he gave us a way to experience love and enjoy love through our children. Our next guest is driven by love, love for his family, along with love for his nation and culture. Gordon Bluesky is the chief of the Broken Head Ojibwe Nation. Along with his work at Broken Head and on various committees at the SCO, he is also the chair of the board for the Treaty 1 Development Corporation. Perhaps most importantly, he is a husband, father, and 60 Scoop survivor. Welcome to Fireside Chats, Gordon.
Miigwech, bonjour. Thank you, Grand Chief, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come here and speak with you today. Thank you.
Let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your childhood. I mentioned in the introduction that you're a survivor of the 60 Scoops. What do you recall from your childhood?
Well, that takes me back a bit when I start to think about what I actually do recall. I don't recall too much in my community where I was apprehended. I was apprehended as a young boy, just about 2 years old, and I ultimately ended up in Winnipeg in a foster home for quite a few years. I remember it from that point, I guess, whenever you start to really think for yourself, all I do recall is trauma. All I do recall is being scared, being abandoned. They separated myself from my other two sisters, which were, one was a year older, one was a year younger. And I remember not knowing where they were for at least a couple years. And I remember coming back together, and ultimately we ended up being adopted into America down in to a little town outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So again, like I said, it was filled with a lot of trauma and a lot of survival. That's what I recall, is surviving.
So you didn't grow up in your home nation. What brought you back to Broken Head?
Well, it's interesting. In 95, after the military, I had spent some time in Seattle, and then I got a phone call from my sister, ultimately letting me know that our mother had reached out, our birth mother had reached out, and through the repatriation program at that time, we came back to Winnipeg and went to Broken Head. And ever since then, you know, it might have been the air, might have been the water, might have been the natural feeling inside my body, the GPS, the natural instincts that I have. And I couldn't leave. I wanted to stay. It was the first time in my whole life that I ever seen people outside of my sisters that actually looked like me. And it was something that there's magic that you can't really explain when it comes to being reunited with your family. It's love.
I like that, magic and love. So how did you get involved in community leadership?
You know what? I was a young person at the time. I wasn't quite 20 years old when I first came back to my community. I was just amazed. I guess I got a bit obsessed with our community, with our cultural, with our language, with our ceremonies. And that was really the start. When I was a young person, I got engaged with working with the community, and I got into a program called the Youth Employment Services, or something like that, I think it was called. And was one of the coordinators along with a couple of my fellow youth at the time. And from there, I just became onto the youth council. We started the Manitoba First Nation Youth Council, as you know. I was one of the original 12 members of Finding Youth Council. And from there, I just got engaged and really got involved, even on the national level. So I really do give that credit to me being where I am today. Is just a beginning of working with other young people across Manitoba and across the country. And from there, is, I guess, as you say, it's history, right?
Tell us a little bit more about the love and compassion you have for the nation and the people of your nation.
I have nothing but good words for everyone that I've ever come in contact with has supported me on some level. All the way back to when I first came home, being supported with work in the band office. From there, I got supported to go to university. From university, I graduated and started to work with the Treaty Land Entitlement Committee, which in turn, my community of Brokenhead was one of the nations that I was working with. And then ultimately, they let me know that there was a position in the community as their lands manager. And it was such a humbling experience for your community to reach out to you, say, apply to this position. And I ultimately ended up getting it. And I ended up working for the community for 13 years. And I put a lot of heart into that because it is my home. And because of everything that they gave me and the nurturing that I got from all the people and the members and family, that I just can't do anything but work in the best interests of my community, because it's just given me something to live for.
One of the projects during your time in office has been the creation of a traffic calming initiative on Highway 59 through Brokenhead. Can you tell us about the challenges you had with that and the accomplishments that came through that?
Yeah, the challenges, there's a lot of deaths and a lot of harm that came. The largest traffic accident ever in our history, and probably Manitoba history, is where about 33 children, I believe, got orphaned and at that time and ended up being scooped out of our community. And a lot of them, you know, they're elders now, older people. And hearing their stories and hearing what happened to them really does bring to light the issue. So it was one of the first things that I started off my term with was we need to address not only traffic safety, but also making this highway actually look like there's a community that it goes through. Unfortunately, through that work, when we first engaged with the province, one of our community members, a 75-year-old man, Larry Hodge, late Larry Hodge, gets struck and killed on his way to work. And that was it. The community members rallied, the young people rallied, the drum was there, and the people weren't going to back down. And I think the province really understood what was about to happen. So I was happy that the AMC, Grand Chief Merrick, and so on, came on board and really supported us in having that press conference. And from there, the traffic's now reduced. The speed is now to 50. And we also got the second set of lights at Anishinaabe Way and Bison Drive East. I think generally a lot of people are really respecting it, but we still have some issues of people still speeding through there. But I am really happy to be a part of that and the work that I did with my council reducing that speed. And again, it was all for the people and the safety of our children.
I mentioned in the introduction that your husband and a father, and on National Ribbon Skirt Day, you paid tribute to your wife and three daughters. Can you tell us a little bit about the love you have for your family?
Every morning I get up, you know, I'm blessed to be with my daughters. You know, I have three beautiful daughters and a beautiful wife, amazing wife. My youngest daughter, you know, she just turned 7. And of course, at that time, it was our last chance as a husband and wife that we were trying to have a son. But I'm so blessed to have my daughter, and she reminds me of that every day. My love for them is well beyond the understanding I believe in this life that I'll ever get. I know whenever I was young and I felt abandoned and I was going through all that survival mode and abandonment and then, you know, dealing with my trauma and so on, that whenever it came to my daughters, and it's really interesting because it's the first time that I really understood what love is, you know? Unconditional, never-ending love that they give me on the daily, no matter what I do. 7 years ago, my wife got pregnant, and I knew at that time I couldn't continue down and allowing my addictions to dictate my life. And I seen what it was doing to my younger daughters. And when we started to have our third child, that's when I made that decision to ask for help and to go into rehab. And when I went into rehab, I really did focus in on that love because I knew I couldn't continue the way that I was because of the impact that it was having on my family. So I give credit to my wife for sticking it through. And I know that's her love, her unconditional love that she has towards me. And now I'm just blessed. I'm blessed to have them and I'm blessed to have my daughters. And every day they remind me of how important and how short this life is, because every second is just like yesterday that they were just babies. I don't know. I'm just amazed by them and amazed by life. My life has been really blessed ever since I've been home.
As First Nations leaders, it's important we continue to focus on the seven sacred teachings. As I mentioned, we are chatting about the teaching of love today. Can you please share some advice to our listeners on how we can lead with love in our daily lives?
When I did become sober, I had to really stop and ground myself, and I had to really do exactly that. I had to learn to love myself. And I remind myself, and I know it's that little guy in there, that little boy that never had love, never had the ability to have control over his life. And so I have to stop and I have to sit down and I have to take time. And sometimes it's not just always sadness. It's not always something that triggers you from your childhood. Sometimes it's excitement. And he doesn't know how to handle excitement. He doesn't know because he was always told not to do that. He was always told not to cry, not to do this, not to do that when he was little. And so I've learned to understand what that means, first off, to love myself and to have that little guy, that spirit inside of you that you have to let him know that big Gord's in charge now. And then when you look forward, all you can do is look from that perspective. You know, the late Negan Aki Nne, Dave Crescane Jr., he had told me one time that whenever you go into a situation, no matter what it is, because he was, at that time we were talking about the Manitoba site and we were trying to get that property back from the province, and I came in there really angry, and he says, "Well, you remind me when I was young," he says, "that energy that you bring to the table, but I want to let you know one thing," he says, "is that you have to not come in here with that kind of energy if you're speaking about a sacred site. You got to come in this room with a good energy." And that's the same thing that I do when I sit at the table of leadership and in governance, and when dealing with things or issues that have, you know, a lot of impacts, especially with our children that we have currently right now, is I can't sit down at that table with anger. I have to sit down there with understanding and love for my people. And that's really is what it guides me in the work that I do.
Chief Gordon Blue Sky, thank you for taking the time to be with us on Fireside Chats.
Kichimigwech, and I'd like to just say hi to all of my Broken End membership out there. Have a great day, everybody.